The Property Pod. Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello from a rainy and overcast Johannesburg yet again. Welcome to the latest episode of The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. We are taking a more community-focused tact on the pod this week, with the spotlight being on Johannesburg, which is still SA's economic hub. The city of gold, as it is familiarly known, and may have lost a little bit of its shine over the years, but still attracts thousands of people each year from across South Africa as well as the continent. Now, Johannesburg is hosting the G20 summit later this year, so it's even more in the spotlight. Jozi My Jozi is a great community-centered initiative that's making a positive impact on the city through partnership. And we have one of the partners called Local Abode to tell us more on the podcast. Stephen Dupria is the founder of Local Abode. Stephen, a very warm welcome to the Property Pod.
Morning, sir, and thank you very much for having me.
So, Jozi My Jozi, the initiative has gained, as I mentioned, quite a bit of traction over the years, and it's doing some great work. But before we go into the history and the ideas behind how it started and the different partners, Stephen, there is a huge amount of work still to be done in the city of Johannesburg. But the city council seems to be trying to clean up its act from what I've seen on social media. I don't know if it's because of the big G20 summit at the end of the year. What's your thoughts on this?
So I think it's multifaceted, Suren. It's not just because of G20. We are seeing, obviously, we're seeing a lot of energy being expelled by the city to try and fix up the inner city. We're seeing a big drive in the inner city by council at the moment. You know, obviously, we know that the big G20 events will happen in places like Sandton and Rosebank. But there is, from our understandings, from dealing with the embassies that we've dealt with, there is this desire for people to come and have a look at the inner city, understand the inner city, maybe work past some of what they've seen on social media or in the news about how bad the inner city is. You know, we've been fortunate. We've had the Dutch ambassador go on a tour with us, who was completely blown away by what they've seen. And while they're not directly a G20 member, they are an invitee to the event. So we are seeing a lot of that. The council are, as I say, spending quite a bit of time and money and efforts to fix the inner city. It's been a cry that the public or the private sector have had to council for a number of years now, as we have been seeing a decline in the inner city. So I think, you know, to answer your question, Sven, it's a combination. There is this desire we're seeing from council to fix it up, but also I think the pressure from G20 and the state president's visit now in March, when he's coming through to check the readiness of the province for G20 later this year.
So do you think it's a catalyst somewhat like the World Cup did for South Africa? Because Joburg was probably at its best post-democracy during that period, with not just city of Joburg, but broadly Gauteng, you know, looking quite good.
I don't think the fact that we're going to be hosting G20 is not going to hurt the efforts to fix what we're trying to achieve. It can only be in the positive. And I know there's a lot of pressure politically from national to province to municipal to make sure we deliver a world-class event like only Johannesburg can. We saw it last year with the New Zealand test at Ellis Park. And in August last year, everyone was very downtrodden about the area and how people were going to get there. And there was the concern about crime and grime and how it worked. And in partnership with the city, you know, we delivered a world-class event. We had a completely sold-out arena. We had PRASA running people through the trains to the Ellis Park Stadium. So it's not something that we haven't overcome and dealt with in the past. So this can only be a positive and to push change within the city that we so desperately need.
So at heart there, are you essentially saying, despite its challenges, Joburg is still working?
Very much so. You know, we've seen this play out before. We've seen this happen before. The late 90s, early 2000s, there was a mass exodus out of the city to the northern suburbs. And we saw this massive implosion, and I use implosion in inverted commas. We saw this implosion of space within the city where a lot of people, the mass exodus, buildings being left vacant. That's what often led us to what we have today in terms of the bad buildings. So we have seen Johannesburg at this point, if not actually a little bit worse than what it is at the moment. Yes, there are infrastructure issues. Yes, there are challenges. But we actually are seeing a big drive in the inner city at the moment. We are seeing more people on the ground. We are seeing a willingness to want to develop properties. We're seeing a drive from provincial government back into the inner city. You know, we've got the likes of Transnet, the SOE, that are moving back into the Carlton Centre, moving back into their property on Rissick Street. So there is this drive, by a political drive, for people to come back into the inner city to turn it around.
Okay. Are Transnet actually going to come back there? Because that's a long-term project, I would think.
Yes, they are. They're actually preparing as we speak to take all their staff back into Carlton Centre and into their Rissick Street property. They spent a considerable amount of money turning both those around. And they're looking at not only fixing the building, but also the public space around their building. You know, understanding how people move into their space, out of their space, visitors, staff and the like, to make sure that it's not that they don't just create these islands, but rather create a destination, and that the actual traversing in and out of their works.
Well, we have covered the regeneration. It has had a stop start, and obviously COVID impacted things as well around Jewel City. And, you know, there's Bromfontein and, you know, University, Wits University is probably keeping that part of the city alive, as it were. Stephen, you are the founder of Local Abode, an alliance partner, according to the website of Josie My Josie. How does this partnership work, and how does your company involved in the initiative?
The purpose of the partnerships is multifaceted, Seren. You know, we bring a certain expertise in terms of public space management and understanding the sustainability of projects. We've also spent a lot of time working with city council officials, so we've got quite a good track record with them. So how the partnership works is when projects are brought to light and adopted by Josie My Josie, we always look at, you know, key elements. You know, how do we get the funding? Who do we speak to? What permissions do we need from council? And the big one is always, what are the sustainability plans behind what we're doing? What happens when Josie My Josie is done and they walk away from site and then move on to the next project? How do we make sure that in 18 months' time, we're not back to where we started and all that money is lost? And that's where the urban management element, companies like myself, like Local Abode, and a few others who specialize in that space, we brought in to make sure that what is being delivered is in fact right, fit for purpose for the space, and is also a sustainable long-term. You know, we've changed, I think it's 600-odd streetlights in the inner city and surrounds over the past 18 months. And Josie My Josie can't sit there and watch every single light. So there's a heavy reliance then on the districts to bring to light if a street light fails or if there's an issue or a problem, all those sorts of things. That's where the sustainability comes in. That's where the partners come in various different parts within each project.
Just for some insight, for those who might not know, who might be listening from another part of the country, you talked about the lights. Did Josie My Josie, was it directly involved in the lights? Because there is quite a lot of cleanup efforts and that sort of thing. Is it a mix? Because it seems to be playing in the space that city improvement districts work in some parts of South Africa. Is it a city improvement district? What? How does it work?
So the city of Johannesburg has, I think it's now over 30 different improvement districts throughout the city. Bearing in mind, the city is a very big place. For anyone listening who doesn't understand the city of Joburg, it is a massive metropolis. It's not just a small little place with just the inner city. It's I think, if I'm not mistaken, Seren, I think it's the biggest city in Africa still, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a very vast, vast place. With Josie My Josie, the partnership is with the improvement districts for the most part. There again comes in the sustainability. So we as Local Abode manage several improvement districts throughout the city. So the improvement districts are on board from the sustainability and long-term plan. Also, the improvement districts come with issues. Now, a big issue we have in the inner city, for instance, is pavements that don't get reinstated. So we've gone to partners to try and get some paving bricks sponsored and have the teams come out that can be able to reinstate the precincts so that we can get the precincts to a sustainable level and at least a baseline that works, and they can then grow from there instead of trying to use the funding from the districts to try and get the basics right. I think that's always the problem. The districts are always fighting this battle to get it to an acceptable level, not to exceed expectations. So that's where Josie My Josie is coming in. They step in, they get it to the baseline, which then frees up capital within the districts to start implementing newer projects localized to that space. In terms of the streetlights, It was a partnership that was done with the city of Johannesburg and City Power in particular. Now, they gave us their specifications as to what the lighting requirements minimum had to be. And rigorous testing and many, many meetings later, our lights were approved. And that's what we rolled out initially. We started on the Nelson Mandela Bridge. We've then linked from Empire Road up over Nelson Mandela Bridge all the way down to Temipalisa, all the way down to Standard Bank. Also around the old Anglo campus, which is now Maharishi and Wits Business School. We also did the whole of Joe Slovo from St. John's all the way through to the highway on the other side and around the Ellis Park precinct. And we'll be rolling out more of the inner city this year, particularly the main arterials to now link our various roads that we've done to link them all together. And last week we saw that the city themselves has started rolling out their own solar streetlights in parts of the city. So the partnership works that obviously, they're not going to come and replace ours, and we're not going to replace theirs, but we all understand where each other's project and timeline sit, and we work with one another to make sure that we get as much done as possible. Because remember, every streetlight that Josie My Josie changes is a streetlight that City Power doesn't have to, and that also enables them to use that streetlight somewhere else that may need it a lot more than we're replacing ours at this point.
Well, the relighting, as it were, of the iconic Nelson Mandela Bridge was quite welcome, and I suppose it showed that things are changing. My Josie, I see it has some big backers, the likes of Anglo-American, Standard Bank, Nando's, IQ Business. Local Abode is one of the alliance partners, so there are a lot more partners. But how did it all start? By who and what has been achieved? Other milestones that you perhaps, early on that you want to mention?
So it started when Anglo-American were exiting the inner city and obviously had their campus and their properties left in that space. And the decision not to just flog them off and to get rid of them and to walk away from the inner city was always there. They felt that there was this desire and this need and this requirement to sustain the inner city as best as what they could. And it was a discussion, in fact, between a gentleman by the name of Anton Ace, and many of you might know Robbie Brosen from Nando's, and Adam Cracker of IQ Business, where this discussion took place of how do we as the private sector now get involved to try and help turn the inner city and to turn the city around. It's very easy to stand on the outside and scream and shout and to tell the city how bad they are and they should be delivering and they should be doing this and they should be doing that. But it's very few people who will actually roll their sleeves up to say, okay, how do we tackle the problem? How do we work together to fix it? And that's pretty much where the Josie My Josie idea was born, was this idea that we need to partner with the city and with province to work together, bring efficiencies, expertise from the private sector and the public sector to now try and turn the city around. You know, the Nelson Mandela Bridge was a massive milestone for us. It was our first real big project, and the relighting thereof was massive. The Wits Business School moving into the old Anglo campus, which was also quite a big one for Josie My Josie, because now it created two different pods for Wits, and we had to make sure that the walk and the traverse between the two worked. So it gave us our why in terms of the street lighting. You know, we did the Ellis Park upgrades for the test match last year. We handed over the park behind Ponte in December last year back to the community after doing massive upgrades in terms of basketball courts, food gardens, all sorts of things. We actually turned that park, which was, if anyone drove down Joe Slovo in the afternoon and got to Abel and Joe Slovo, would understand how bad that intersection was and how bad the park was. It was a home for criminals and for the nefarious acts thereof. And we gave that community their park back. And since they've taken it over, we've seen no more drugs in that park, no more criminals hanging out there. So it's all these sorts of projects that are reviving the city slowly. This year, one of our big push projects is the CBD Fridays, where we've partnered with municipality and province, and we select areas within the city that we go into en masse and do massive cleanups. 2 weeks ago, we did the Hillbrow Health Precinct. Last week, Friday was around Con Hill. So they're very specialized in terms of where we're going. And again, in partnership with the city. So we have city officials, we have Pick It Up there to assist us to deal with the illegal dumping. We have bylaw enforcement there. Those are some of our big projects for this year. And obviously there are a couple more particularly aligned with the goals for G20. And there's a continuation of existing projects. Our streetlight project will roll out this year. Our CCTV camera project will roll out this year. So there's quite a bit happening at this stage.
It seems so. Quite interesting. You mentioned the area around the Concord. I was there for our MoneyWeb Christmas party in December, and I was quite disappointed to see how that area deteriorated. So I'll have to give it a visit and see how it looks now. And then a few weeks ago, we had a story about Pontus City being up for sale. So it's good to hear that there's some investments and cleanup around there as well. But I suppose it's an ongoing initiative. Stephen, tell me, Josie My Josie is purely focused on the CBD, hey, because you talked about Joburg being a metropolis. Most of G20 is going to take place in Sandton. Granted, some people might go for tours and that sort of thing in the city.
So Josie My Josie primarily started with its focus on the inner city. And we kept hearing all the newspaper reports and we're hearing this on social media how bad the inner city is and how Joburg's dying. And the inner city is always, unfortunately, attached to that. You know, the inner city of Johannesburg is no different to the inner city of any big country or any big state in that matter. I mean, you take places like New York, for instance. New York in the 80s, Manhattan, nobody would dare set foot in that space. But what other cities have done very, very well and where Johannesburg has lacked is that they control the narrative about how the rest of the world sees that space. And more often than not, the good news stories drive people into the space. Joburg, unfortunately, works the other way around. Only the bad stories really make the news. So all everyone ever sees is how bad the inner city is. But there are really some amazing pockets of excellence within the space that unfortunately lose some of the luster because they get tainted with the negative stories. So that's where the drive comes in, is to try and change that perception. Because if we can make it work in the inner city of Johannesburg, we can make it work anywhere. And that's the idea, is that it's not just the inner city of Johannesburg, it's Johannesburg as a whole. And that's why from G20 point of view, we're even looking at potentially crossing municipalities within the province. You know, you've got people arriving at OR Tambo, for instance, or Lanseria Airport. Them being able to get from airport to destination is important. So we're looking, as I say, in collaboration with province and how we relight the motorways, for instance. Many of us have driven on the motorways at night and they're very, very dark. How do we bring back lighting to the motorways so that when you leave the airport, you're driving in this well-lit, well-maintained, looked-after space as you're driving to wherever your hotel or wherever you're going to be staying is. So it started in the inner city, but the idea is to take it pretty much across the province.
It's good to hear about the G20 initiative broadly or other initiatives. Stephen, based on your response, you talk about things still happening, WITS Business School essentially going into the CBD. So it's not a case of Anglo leaving that exodus really impacted the city because, you know, both Anglo and Standard Bank, pretty much its head offices are in Rosebank now. Are you saying that it's just catering for a different market? Because traditionally speaking, when corporates leave, it does have a negative connotation to it.
So what it does allow for, Stuart, it allows us to pivot and to realign what and reimagine what the inner city is. 20, 30 years ago, before the likes of Sandton had sprouted to what it is today, all those big, you know, the big law firms, the big accounting firms were all based in the inner city. Yes, they left, and we understand that. Many of them won't come back, which we understand, and it's not where the inner city is anymore. But it allows us an opportunity to reconfigure what the inner city is. You know, we've always believed that happy people live close to where they work. So there's a big drive for inner city housing, affordable housing, low-income housing, even high-end housing within the inner city. We're seeing a massive drive of SMMEs into the city, call centers, data centers all coming into the city. And with the big corporates leaving, while the building space might have been bigger or have a big footprint, it allows for property owners to reimagine their properties, cut it into smaller pods, and spread their risk, actually. If you go to the banks and you try and buy a property and you've got one tenant in space, the banks tend to actually not want to fund a single tenanted building. They prefer having the risk across 100 different tenants, so to speak. So it's an interesting dynamic in the city, but we definitely are seeing a reimagining of the inner city. But we're seeing such a big drive of, with the public sector moving back into the city, all the companies that service the public sector, you know, the companies that service the likes of Transnet or the various provincial departments within the city, all like to be close to these offices. So we're seeing this massive drive of of people coming in, SMEs coming in, taking up space, you know, reasonable to good accommodation in the city with and at prices that will actually shock many, many people. People often will think that property owners are trying to maximize their profits. In a city, it's not the case. The rentals are still extremely, extremely reasonable and competitive. At some points, even half of the northern suburbs places. And you're still close to the transport. You know, you've got the bus system running. The new lines between Sandton and the inner city should be open later this year when they completed the construction. We've got Gautrain running through the inner city from Park Station. So the connectivity is there, the ease of access is there, but the cost of running business isn't as high as it is in other places. So that barrier is reduced to a greater extent.
Stephen, I hear the passion there, but as a partner of Josie My Josie, what's the big thing that keeps you up at night and about the city's future? And on the reverse, you've talked a bit about what inspires you, but what inspires you personally most about City of Joburg?
I'll tackle the first question, what keeps me up at night. And strangely enough, it's not a problem that currently exists. What keeps me up at night is once we've achieved what we've tried to achieve and the inner city is back to where we're all hoping it's going to be, how do we make sure that we can sustain it, that we don't go through this again? And that's a question I ask myself daily, is to make sure that whatever we're doing can withstand anyone that's currently involved not being there and for generations to come. Because the last thing we want to do is wake up in 10 years' time and be right back to where we started and this would have all been for nothing. So that's pretty much what keeps me up at night. What inspires me about the inner city, you know, I went to high school in the inner city. My jobs have all been in the inner city. I founded my business in the inner city. And it's one of those where when you see the resilience of people, when you see the people that live in Johannesburg and how it doesn't matter race, color, creed, belief, it doesn't matter even where they come from. The way the people of Johannesburg and the inner city in particular interact with one another and want to help one another, for me, is absolutely phenomenal. We're seeing a lot of the community-driven stuff in the inner city, people putting their hands out to try and assist, you know, digging deep in their pockets, even sharing their last few rands to try and help one another. What we're seeing in the inner city, the camaraderie between them, can only but inspire people to want to try and help more.
Well, it's good to hear the inspiring stories there, Stephen. We are a bit out of time, but I'm sure I need to chat to you and do more and come and visit down there to see what exactly is happening. Stephen, thanks so much for your time on the podcast. That was Stephen Dupria, founder of Local Abode, which is an alliance partner of Josie My Josie.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The
Property Pod. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.